One year ago, Hurricane Maria slammed into Puerto Rico, and our friend Ana Balaval joined us in those days immediately following, and many times since, to talk about her home, her family, and the recovery of the same. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's not a happy anniversary. What do you even say on a day like today?
I don't know. I reached out to Mary because I feel tender to the touch, if you will. And I think that I feel compelled to thank you and the show and all of Chicago for holding my hand and everyone in my situation through an entire year.
That's nice of you to say.
Completely.
No, listen, yeah. It's nice of you to say and unnecessary, because without you doing the reporting you did, the majority of Chicago and the Midwest would not have known how bad the situation was.
Right. It was interesting because I found myself in that odd situation of being part of the story when I went to journalism school, although you probably think that when I'm on the air, I didn't go to journalism school.
Oh, no, I see
the
it.
Stuff I do. But when I went to journalism school 20-something years ago, I was told you're never part of the story. You don't tell a story with your personal angle. And things have changed. Our industry has changed. And the reason I could do this story and it resonated with people was because I was involved. And so it was a catch-22. I wanted to tell the truth about what was going on, and I also wanted to check on my own. And so it was a surreal few months.
So tell me about the update in regards to your family first. They're doing okay?
They're doing okay. My sister-in-law has been lucky enough that her small ad agency has done well because some of their clients are community colleges and hospitals, so they've needed to get the word out, and so that has produced work. My brother's doing okay. I'm not sure he's getting paid month to month because he's a journalist, and his paper is not doing well. My mom and dad are okay, but the elderly are has hit them really hard because my mom and dad, who are in their 80, saw Puerto Rico develop, right, and become the shining star of the Caribbean,
exactly.
And now they look out their window, and their highway has no power still, and, you know, if they drive at night, they have to make sure that the traffic lights are working, and they've seen how hundreds of thousands of people have left the island because they can't make it work. So what started being very difficult for my brother and sister-in-law, because they had no power for 5 months, they were young, and they had to look for a future, now it has flipped where my mom says if you go out with people her age, they're planning for the end of life, right? They're talking about how, you know, I left money in the drawer. I left these instructions, which they weren't talking about that before. So my mom sounds sad. She said to if I met David Bignot tonight at the National Museum for Puerto Rico Arts and Culture, it's their gala tonight, and they're honoring the CBS reporter that has done an absolute wonderful job with Puerto Rico. My mom said, tell him the hurricane destroyed us, but it didn't destroy our love for the island, and that's why we didn't leave.
Wow. Very emotional.
This story, which was one that was focused mainly on recovery and humanity, has turned political, and we've seen this in the last week or so from the president and his Twitter account. But the question is, from your vantage point, when you hear all of this happening in the national news about politicizing how the recovery went, what's your take? How do you feel about that?
It's infuriating. It's embarrassing, Justin. It is embarrassing the way that our local government has dealt with the whole situation, the way that the federal government has helped with the situation, and then the fact that then what you hear is, well, Puerto Ricans have just needed to start doing it for themselves. Yeah, but 3,000 people died, and you had nothing. We were off a power grid for months. People need help, and if you're part of the United States, and if you pay taxes to your local government,
Absolutely.
You expect certain services.
Absolutely.
So, and I remember my brother and his neighbors coming out of their house and spending 2 days macheting their way out of their upscale, you know, neighborhood in Guaynabo. So you cannot, it just infuriates me. So the idea that you tell me that the millions of Puerto Ricans that were affected by this just sat down and waited for FEMA to show up
ridiculous.
And give them $500? Yes. There is cheating. There is corruption. There always has been. And how many governors have we had in jail in Illinois? And if there is a tornado, you're going to tell those people, you'll figure it out.
Well, here's the thing. North Carolina, South Carolina, in Houston, Texas, and South Florida, there was corruption and cheats and all of those. Like, there isn't any storm. People take advantage of folks in the worst of times. But there is no denying, regardless of how this story ends at some point, that we didn't get it done with Puerto Rico. There's no other argument.
If FEMA has been incompetent for years, you can ask New Orleans, you can ask. They're not ready. In a hurricane, something you can prepare for. See, when I lived in Puerto Rico for Hugo, the airplanes for aid arrived before the hurricane. So, yes, it was a catastrophic, never-before-seen
storm.
But even the general or the highest-ranking soldier from the Army Corps of Engineers said, no, we screwed this up. We weren't prepared.
Right.
We left them hanging. And you can see that in Houston. I was listening to a story from a mayor of a town who said at the beginning everything was fine, but the aid has come very slowly. So imagine with an ocean in between and with, millions of Puerto Ricans that people just found out are natural-born U.S. citizens, right? So.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and you should be infuriated. All right, I got like 30 seconds. You are one of the many families that took younger family members in because schools were closed for so long. What's the status of that? Because, as you know, the next generation is going to be the key to Puerto Rico's success.
Oh, my goodness. She was the first text I received this morning, and she said, Titi, it's been a year. I can't believe it. And she has been changed forever. She's home. She's going to her high school. She's back on track. We had her here, my niece Mariana. We had her here for 9 months, and she learned so much. And she loves the city and is thankful with everyone who would ask and would take the time to learn what her situation was. And like my parents say over and over, we are the lucky few. My parents have the money to stay there. My brother and sister-in-law have the means and the education, and we're just helping out to rebuild. Sure. And now that generation is the one that things are getting better in the sense that, people can't afford coming to the States for college anymore. The people that went to my high school were expected to go to the States, and so they're staying in our local universities. So that's changing also. That's forcing the education to improve.
Look, we love you, and it's clear why you love your home, and thank you for bringing some clarity to it from an eyewitness standpoint, and keep talking about it. That's all.
Thank you, and thank you. Thank you to all of Chicago, all your listeners, everyone who's still asking how Mommy and Poppy are doing. They feel the love, and they appreciate it, and so does the entire island.
Give them a big, unasked-for hug from me. Big bear hug.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, there you go. Thanks, I'd like to see what her dad says.